Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been looking at the series of lessons on Paul's letter to the Galatians, and today was the fifth chapter. And he starts this chapter by saying, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Paul, it almost sounds like he was living during the American Revolution. You know, don't pay your taxes without representation. Stand free. Be free from the King of England. But he was talking about being free from sin, being free from the things that weigh us down in this world, being free in Christ. And particularly in Galatia, there were those that said, before you can be a Christian, you have to be Jewish. You have to be circumcised. You have to follow all the Jewish laws. And Paul was saying, no, you don't. You're free from that to live in Christ. But the problem with freedom is that people misunderstand freedom, whether it's freedom as a nation or it's freedom in Christ. And so Paul had to kind of tell them, freedom does not mean that you can do whatever you want to do. And so in our text, he says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Because that's when certain people heard, oh, I'm free in Christ and I'm not under the law. Why, then I can do whatever I want. I can eat to excess, I can drink to excess, I can be involved in sexual activity to excess, I can do whatever I want for my self-pleasure and self-indulgence. And so Paul has to say, yes, you're free, but you're not free so that you can simply indulge yourselves in all of the senses. In fact, as Paul talks then, you might be thinking he's talking to America today. You know, how often are we encouraged to just simply, you know, give in to whatever? You deserve a break today. Go ahead and eat that Big Mac and the large fries and all of the stuff that goes with it. Or go ahead, check into the Cosmopolitan Hotel where there's just the right amount of wrong. Or, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You can do whatever you want and nobody will ever know. Or if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. We are bombarded with messages that tell us, you live in a free land? Indulge yourselves. Do whatever brings you pleasure. But Paul is saying no. That is not the freedom that Christ calls us to. No, we are to use our freedom, Paul says, that through love we become slaves to one another. You're free not to be self-indulgent, because in the long run that's going to hurt you and others, but you're free to serve, to love others. And that's what we're called to do. And so Paul in this lesson contrasts what does it mean to be living by the power of the Holy Spirit, and what does it mean to be living a self-indulgent life, living for ourselves rather than for Christ. And he says in our text, the works of the flesh are obvious. We don't have to pass a law telling you what you shouldn't or shouldn't do. It's obvious when you're self-indulgent. And so he lists fornication, impurity, anger, drunkenness, carousing, and a whole list of other things. And like that dead tree says, when those become part of your life, if you're living your life in that way, you're dead. It's a self-indulgent life. It's a life that is apart from Christ. In fact, he even goes so far to say that if you're living that life, if those are the fruits of your life, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, because that life is not the life of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not ever going to get angry. It doesn't mean you won't ever get drunk or won't ever be envious. But when we adopt that as a life, when we say, in freedom, I can live life for myself, if we live the self-indulgent life of the flesh, we are not living as God calls us to. And Paul would say, if you examine your life and those are the fruits of your life, it's time to repent, It's time to say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I may be about your kingdom and not simply about the desires of the flesh. And so he says it's obvious. You don't even have to worry about passing laws, what you shouldn't do. If you're living a self-indulgent life, it is obvious. And conversely, he says it's also obvious what the fruits of the Spirit are. He says it's peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, generosity, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. In fact, he goes on to say, there is no law against these things. They are obvious. These are the things of God. And we're free in Christ. We don't have to be circumcised. We don't have to be Jewish and follow the Jewish laws. But in Christ, we have a choice of following the flesh or following Christ. And he says, love one another as he has first loved you. All the commandments can be simply summed up in love, and it's obvious. And so he says, take a look at your life. What are the fruits? Is it the dead tree of anger and envy and drunkenness? Or is it the tree that's filled with fruits of generosity, of faithfulness, of goodness, and the like? You know, there's a phrase in technology that applies to theology. It's garbage in, garbage out. And it's true in technology. It's true in life, too. You get out of a system what you put into a system. It's true of the things we eat. All the fast food proliferation in America, that's why we have obesity is now a major problem. That's why diabetes is on the rise at an alarming rate. Why? Garbage in, garbage out. We pay the consequences based on the food that we eat. But the same thing is true of what we put into our mind. Another epidemic in our society is pornography, a multi-billion dollar industry. And you fill your mind with those images, garbage in, garbage out. It tends to be something that leads to addiction, and then it takes you down a road that is depressing and takes you away from God. Garbage in, garbage out. And so the key is, what are we putting into our minds? What are we putting into our bodies that keep us connected to God? And so worship, praise, music, prayer. How much of those things are we putting into our lives versus the other things in our lives? Because what we put into our lives is going to determine what are the fruits of our lives. Whether it's the fruits that lead to death or the fruits of the Spirit that lead to life for ourselves and life for those around us as well. And so, how much of our time is spent in those things, in spending time where we put in the good things, where we take time for God, and when we put the Spirit in, the fruits of the Spirit then begin to manifest themselves out toward others. And so Paul reminds us that freedom can be a great thing, but it can be a negative thing. If we use our freedom for self-indulgence, it takes us down the wrong road. But if in our freedom we use it to serve one another, if in our freedom we remember that the whole law is summed up in the words, love one another as I have loved you, you know, then in that freedom to love one another. And so that's what Christ has called us. And so on the one hand, it is freedom from, but not freedom from responsibility. It's freedom from guilt, freedom from doubt, freedom from fear, because God has said, in Christ, your sins are forgiven. You know, you don't have to worry, am I good enough to get into heaven? You're not. You're not good enough to get into heaven. God is gracious enough to let you in. That's the difference. God on the cross forgave you all your sins. And so you don't have to worry. You don't have to be filled with fear That's the whole thing faith says is, I free you from fear, from doubt, am I good enough? Because you are forgiven. That's the most important freedom we have in Christ. The freedom from fear, guilt, and doubt. He paid the sins on the cross, and so we don't have to live in fear. But Paul reminds us, don't use that freedom for self-indulgence, but use that freedom to love, serve, and show kindness. You know, as I was reflecting on this past week, just those signs that you see in the congregation where the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I was thinking of Millie Tengbaum. What a beautiful soul. Passed away, 95 years old. But I thought, there are very seldom times when death just seems to be perfect. And this was one of those. You know, at 95 years old, members of this congregation and others flooded her with just a host of cards. And so on her 95th birthday, she had all these cards and was able to read them, be affirmed from all kinds of people, and just had this whole treasure of affirmation. And I thought, what a wonderful gift this congregation gave to her. And then a few days later, you die in your sleep at 95 years old. You know, what a blessing. And the last thing that you experienced in life was a gift from members of this congregation who reminded her what a special person she was in the lives of this congregation. And I thought, well done. You know, fruits of the Spirit, the kindness, the looking after others, and how that was just the perfect gift to give to somebody before they died. Or, you know, I think the gift of this congregation and the Swedish band that played here Friday night, which was by far a greater concert than I was anticipating. It was a great, in fact, they're going to be at Shepherd's Grove tonight. If you missed it on Friday, you can see them in Shepherd's Grove here in Garden Grove. Wonderful, wonderful concert and witness. And yet, the members of the church providing food for them, providing lodging, hosting them, getting them breakfast, lunch, sending them on the way, the hours and hours to allow this band to share their music and give their witness. And you say, just another way that members use their freedom to serve and to love. And then with all of that going on, we had a former member who died, who had a funeral, and the women of our church still found the time in the midst of everything else to provide for a meal for that family. So in the midst of their grief, they could come to our fellowship hall and enjoy a meal and have time to share without the stress of trying to find somewhere else to do that. And you just look every once in a while, I just look at a congregation and I see all of those things. And then I see for myself how what a blessing it was. So many of you on Facebook and else, phone calls and concern with Wendy's hospitalization, and say, that's the fruit of the Spirit. When we take the time out to express concern, to show kindness, to serve one another. And so Paul says, in Christ we're free, and we have a choice. How do we use our freedom? You can do it in self-indulgence, and that road leads you away from God. Or you have the freedom to show love through kindness and through service. And that then produces the Spirit within us and allows God's love to be experienced by others. You know, next week is really the week of freedom, July 4th weekend coming up, where we celebrate the freedoms of a nation. But none of those freedoms will ever compare to the freedom we have in Christ. And once again, freedom from fear, freedom from doubt, freedom from judgment. You are forgiven in Christ. Be free from those burdens. You are loved and you are saved by God's grace. Don't, as Paul says, don't take that yoke of slavery back upon yourselves. Live in the freedom of God's grace. And then take that freedom so that you may then share that love of God as you serve in kindness to those around you. God bless you in the use of your Christian freedom. Amen. Let us stand. Lord God, thank you for setting us free. So many people continue to wrestle with their sins, with their shortcomings. Lord, as we turn to you, remind us we have been saved by your grace, freed from condemnation. And now, Lord, help us use that freedom that we might love as we have been loved by you. That is the greatest use of freedom that we can use in this land of freedom. Help us to be Christians, expressing our freedom in love. Amen.